This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health News Digest, the show that brings you the latest in health news. My name is Tina Camilla. Joining me this week are Cho Eun Teck, Julie Jacobs and Sharmila Ganesan. Here's what we have lined up for the hour.
In Budget 2019, the finance minister announced that 10 million ringgit is allocated to the Malaysian Digital Economy Corporation, or MDEC, to develop esports. So we are asking you the question today whether esports should be part of the school's curriculum.
And last week, the education minister, Dr. Mazli Malik, proposed that hotel swimming pools be opened up to schools so that swimming lessons can be made compulsory within the education system. So we'll be talking a little bit about why and whether swimming lessons are essential.
And we also have a poll question for you, a Twitter poll question. Let us know, how well do you swim? So you can join in the conversation on Twitter at BFM Radio or do WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We're already getting some responses, so, you know, do keep them coming in.
First, though, here's Coldplay with Don't Panic, BFM 89.9.
The Health News Digest on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
That was Coldplay with Don't Panic. Now let's take a closer look at the esports industry. 10 million ringgit was allocated for esports and tech. And I know that you have a personal interest in this story.
I don't really have a personal interest. It's been a long time since I game. PlayStation 1 was the last console I owned. And, you know, my smartphone was not really that capable of loading that many games because it had a very low storage space. So I think I missed out on a lot of this development in terms of esports. And I've largely been a bystander to it because our colleagues are at Destination Programming on a weekend. I think they do play. They do watch as well. And so they are very in the know about, you know, the developments around it, sports casting and how it's becoming a multi-million-dollar industry. And Genting is host to this really huge annual competition, isn't it?
Yeah, tournament. It's a huge reality TV programming. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting sometimes to see some of these players with so much personality and you're just pretending to, not even pretending to be them, just watching them play.
Yeah, it's a whole genre on its own, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's not even on YouTube anymore. There's a whole platform, Twitch, that's dedicated to gaming videos. You could watch them practice. You can watch them commentate on other people's gameplay.
It's fun. Yeah. It's fun, my friends.
I must admit that I literally only knew esports was a thing when they announced the budget a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And I was like, what is esports?
Did you think it was fair that 10 million ringgit is allocated?
See, it took me some time. I think I'm going to sound like a total Luddite here when Antek says that, you know, he's sort of held back in playing. I my last gaming experience was probably a Nintendo Game Boy when I was a teenager. So I'm not sure. I'm like, what is the aim behind it would be my question. Mm-hmm. Because to my mind, investing in sports, physical sports, makes sense because it's also a health thing. Mm-hmm. It's also, it creates team spirit, you know, there's an educational value. I'm not sure, or maybe I don't see yet, whether similar benefits are to be gained with esports.
Yeah, I think you're very right to be skeptical because there's still very little information on how MDEC is going to spend this money. It's one of the surprises of this budget, isn't it? That it's a small amount in comparison to other things, but 10 million is just a drop in the pond of what Dr. Yasmin Mahmood, the MDEC chief executive, say is a $180 billion US. Industry, so that's 755 billion ringgit, and esports is one of the growth engine of this games industry. And if Sharmila, you have any doubt about whether gaming should be considered a sport, it's just been recognized as a full medal event in the 2022 Asian Games, which will be happening in 4 years because the one that just gone by, I think earlier this
September.
Earlier in September, was included as a demonstration sport. Six games were included, including Clash of Royale, League of Legends, and Pro Evolution Soccer. Shramana, I know you're very well versed in all these games.
These are things I talk about every weekend. Yeah. I think actually a part of it is a bit of cynicism on my part, because and I might be very idealistic. Traditional sports are, of course, a billion-dollar industry as well. They bring in revenue. Nobody would watch football, or nobody would, you know, technically support or grow football if there wasn't that component to it. However, to me, it seems like with esports, so much of it is driven from the profit angle. People are investing in it because there's a financial return to it. It's not, again, a little bit of idealism here. It's not being viewed in terms of what does it do. Excuse me, to us as an to society, what is its larger benefits? Instead, it seems to be measured purely from a financial benefit point of view.
Yeah, it's got to be the least physical game since chess.
Yeah, it's almost legitimizing a pastime, right? It gives teenagers and kids an excuse to say, "I want to be a professional gamer," and then you can spend 8 hours a day playing games, and. You know, the two sides to the coin, the World Health Organization has included gaming addiction as a disease in its latest international classification of diseases, ICD-11. Is that how I say it?
Yes.
Tina, yes.
ICD-11,
yes. For those who absolutely needs a definition, a gaming disorder is a pattern of a behavior characterized by impaired control over gaming and where you just... I guess it takes over your social life so that other activities, or rather gaming takes precedence over other activities and interests. So what are the impacts? I guess it will affect your social relations, your education, your work. There's been studies to maybe try to show some causation that when there is a boom in video game consumption or video game buying, the unemployment rates also go up because they're mostly young male or young men who are buying these games or who are spending a large number of time, a lot of time on games. But coming back to what Shamila said about being skeptical, and so what the Entertainment Software Association, this is a industry lobby group in the US, they say that the inclusion of gaming disorder as a disease is recklessly trivializes real mental health issues. I think that is still the majority opinion, isn't it? That playing games, if parents see their kids playing a lot of games, they might needlessly feel afraid that it's a larger thing where it's actually just kids being kids, you know, blowing off some steam after a hard, stressful exam period.
Aren't there already cases of kids who are so addicted to gaming that I think in Korea and in China where they have to get sent into a boot camp or something like that to kind of wean them off their addiction?
True.
And yeah. Haven't there been cases where people playing, I don't know if Dota falls under this category.
Yes,
Dota, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, Dota, that's the
well
only one
done.
I know.
We're on the same page.
Very good. I'm so impressed with myself. Some people have actually died because they were there, they did marathons, right?
That's right.
For like overnight and
days
things like
on
that.
End, just like loading up on energy drinks.
Caffeine and energy drinks and just going crazy, isn't it?
That's
and,
right,
and
yeah.
And people have died.
Exactly. I think there is a tendency, of course, to sort of be a bit alarmist about this news. So, mm-hmm. You know, obviously, as someone who doesn't game, when I see these headlines, I'm automatically drawn to thinking, yes, you know, gaming addiction is really harmful. But I'm sure there are also perfectly well-adjusted, healthy individuals who enjoy gaming in their free time, as anything else, in moderation, is no issue at all. Yeah. However, you know, calling it sports then leads me to think, you know, what about when we talk about, say, football or basketball? We don't really talk about it as being destructive in that way. So for me, that's why it's troublesome and maybe sometimes problematic when you look at something like gaming, online gaming, e-gaming, I suppose. Because if there are, there is enough evidence to indicate that it has these negative side effects, then is it a little irresponsible to put it on the same page or the same status as physical sports, which I don't think have proven to have those kind of side effects?
Right.
Yeah, playing devil's advocate here, if you spend too much time, you know, on the tennis court or on the football field, isn't that also harmful to other aspects of, you know, your developmental years, you know, schooling,
right,
or...
That's a good point,
yeah. And even physically, right? There are lots of evidence of how sportsmen or sportswomen sort of sustain long-term injuries. American football and...
Wearing and tearing of the joints and all that, right?
Yeah.
And very, very few people get to make sports as their vocation.
Mm. That's right. But, I mean, despite all of that, the esports industry is continuing to gain momentum here with that. I mean, 10 million ringgit allocation is a testament to that. There are also esports academies in the country. I didn't know that.
I didn't know.
There are at least two right now. Mm-hmm. Kieran Lam is principal of one of the esports academy, the Academy of Esports. And he spoke to the Evening Edition earlier this year about whether esports should be part of the school curriculum. Before we get to that, I wonder, you know, what do you guys think?
You know, I know that up till now I've sounded like I'm really against this idea, but I don't think that that's necessarily the worst thing. Perhaps to formalize it and structure it in some way might make it a little easier for parents and people of different generations to understand and see some of the benefits.
All right, let's hear from Kieran then.
Yes, I understand that esports, when people think about it, it's always those type of games that, you know, you have to go for competition, you have to win games. But I think schools should also take a look at games that have soft skills. Games like Overcooked and Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes. So games like this are actually team-building activity games where they can develop teamwork skills, communication skills, problem-solving skills. So I believe games like this is more general to the schools.
So soft skills, you can learn, you can pick that up, not physical skills, but some soft skills. And other skills mentioned by MDEC include leadership and event management. And in fact, in some of these academies, that's part of their syllabus. They're teaching event management programs where you learn things like event supply chain, you learn venue setup. So you can make a career out of it, not just as a competitor.
So not just esports as in gaming, but the organizational and sort of like the whole thing is an industry.
The industry, correct. Exactly.
Sounds like a great extracurricular activity, you know. But does it have to be incorporated into the curriculum? I'm not so sure. I mean, teach them how to code, sure. Teach them IT skills, but why? I mean, it doesn't seem like this is an essential thing that should be in everyone's textbook.
Mm. But I think it should just be part of the Bukit Jalil school, sports school curriculum. They specialize in sports, right?
No, I was just going to say, you know, for people who don't like learning, they don't like traditional forms of learning, this is a softer way, I suppose, to teach them all these soft skills, I suppose.
Right. So, I mean, you were talking about, I know you still have some reservation on this, Shamila, but do you consider it a sport or a game?
Ah, that's an interesting question. I don't think I'm convinced yet that I would call it a sport. Maybe that's my bias of thinking of sport. Chess is a sport, right? And I was just going to say, I think of it as something physical.
Yeah.
But we still do consider chess or pool or snooker sports. Mm. To me, I don't think I'm yet convinced that I would call it a sport. A game, yes.
And an athlete or a gamer?
I think,
sorry.
I think if you look at how the gamers who do this for a living and how they train and how they conduct themselves in terms of, you know, because I think there are requirements when they sign on to teams that fund them and fund their trainings and send them abroad for this, and how they have to buy their own equipment and how they have to be very diligent in their practice. A lot of those traits are present in athletes as well, who have to lead a very rigid lifestyle. And I don't know if this is good for their physicality or if it's physical benefits, but athletes in conventional sports, as we understand it, they do their body a lot of harm as well, right?
Mm.
Yeah, so I also don't know.
Right. But you spoke to lawyers Richard Wee and Brian Bu about, I mean, you were focusing on the legal issues in esports, but you also did discuss whether it is a sport or a game, whether they're athletes or gamers. Let's hear from that interview.
That actually is a very good question. Because of the novelty of the event, I still call it an event for now. Generally, anything on a cyber-based game, we will traditionally call it computer games. That is a game. Angry Bird, Tetris. These are, well, people now know how old I am when I say those games. But, or FIFA. Those are all games. But there are some computer games which has evolved into a competition, like a League of Legends, Dota 2. These are esports. So those games that we are competing against each other has evolved into esports. So it's very much like normal sports. So we have the Olympic, and below Olympics there's football, basketball, badminton. So for esports, below esports, we have League of Legends, Dota 2, FIFA. So these are the kind of computer games involved. So those are esports as compared to happy games that we play, like, I repeat, Angry Bird. You know, those are just
But Tetris
games.
Can be very competitive as well, isn't it?
Yes, so, it is.
As long as a game has some competitive elements to it and more than one player can play, it's considered esports?
No, it's still games. But for the esports community, they have acknowledged about 8 to 10 games, acknowledged as proper esports tournament. So you see the tournaments that they have all over the world. So even though we may have a competitive Tetris game, it is not esports because there's no tournament, so per se, for that yet. But you never know. It may evolve one day. Yeah. For now, no.
All right, so I hope that clarifies a little bit on what qualifies as an e-sport and what's just a game like Tetris.
It does. I learned a lot from that clip.
Isn't it?
I thought I love Tetris, so, but I'm clearly not an e-sports person.
You just
don't think
gamer.
Anyone's going to sponsor you for that. You know, it's a competition one day.
You know, yeah, when you start competing with someone else on a multiplayer Tetris game, that becomes a sport.
See, I think
you
this
can
is
start
part,
a league here.
Yeah, but this is part of the problem, right? The definitions are still unclear to me, as they would be for many people. And perhaps it just needs some time before these things become formalized. But that's part of the reason why, you know, it's difficult to decide, oh, is it a game? Is it a sport? Should I take it seriously? Or is it just a hobby, you know?
But what if there is a doping element to it? Would you then consider that
wow,
it is a sport?
It's gone legit, right?
Yes. There's such a thing as e-doping, isn't it?
Correct, yeah. And I guess when people start putting in effort to cheat is when you know this is a serious thing.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's not just cheating in terms of your software or hardware, but it's also popping pills.
Right,
to
stimulating yourself to continue playing.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So let's hear a little bit on that.
Of course, traditionally, conventional doping is governed by WADA, based in Canada, World Anti-Doping Agency.
They cover esports too?
Not yet. Not yet. So in Malaysia, it's ADAMAS, and in Southeast Asia, is CIRADO. These are the governing agencies, all governed by the WADA rules. But esports, not yet. And I'm going to leave the mic to Brian to tell you what happened in the Philippines.
So in Philippines, for a Dota 2 tournament, one of the requirements was that every participant had to go through a doping test. So a lot of players were upset with it, was not happy with it. That prompted the publishers to make a statement. And their statement was they disagree with the doping procedure because it was an invasion of privacy. So it was not so much a doping issue, but it was more of a privacy issue, invasion of privacy issue in that situation. But if you want to talk about doping in esports, it's actually a very small area. But there are cases. There was a player, former player, who actually admitted in an interview that he used Adderall, a drug for ADHD, to help him focus. And that prompted a coalition, a esports integrity coalition, and they replicated what WADA did. So they have a list of banned substances where they expect their tournament organizers who are member or part of the coalition to run these tests during tournaments. However, it's not global, not many. It depends on who is subscribing to them, who is part of the coalition, and also even those organizations who are part of the coalition are not really enforcing this drug testing issue. Yeah.
Are they ran or consulted by experts, like doctors or whatnot, this fledgling coalition?
As far as I understand it to be, it's more of a, look, this is what WADA is doing, let's adopt it.
So it's not really in force yet. And with respect to the esports community, I don't see a strong desire to adopt WADA. Though in my personal view, for any sports in this world to develop into a acceptable and acknowledged proper sports, I think anti-doping is crucial. It's the character of a professional sports.
All right. So what do you all think?
I'm learning so much about esports today.
I think this should be, because it's such a, it's been largely left to the industry or the community itself to regulate, right? Mm. But as Shamila, you've said that it's the definition of what sports is and what games is still fluid. It's been arbitrary and self-defined, but so for the government to jump in, I don't know whether this is something constructive, whether there is a template that we are following that have South Korea been very proactive in developing their e-gaming community. Maybe it's better that the industry continue to level up itself independent from the government.
Mm. All right. So, I mean, let us know your thoughts if you're an e-gamer or e-sports athlete. How has e-sport helped you with your physical or mental health? You can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Here's another thing that's potentially included in the school curriculum, swimming. We'll come back to discuss that in a bit on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.